Get Involved Sunday or something, because there's some opportunities this morning, which is awesome. Get Involved Sunday or something, because there's some opportunities this morning, which is awesome, which is really good. Man, the kingdom of God is advancing. Amen? Amen. I believe it. Hey, as I continue here, we are excited. I tell you, fall is here. Kids, I hope school was good. Parents, I hope getting into the routine is going all right. Right? It's a struggle, I tell you, getting back into routines of things. If it only could be Christmas every day, right? Or could it only be summer every year round? It's not, but it's good. We have our MOPS starting. Pretty cool. Mothers of Preschoolers. There's going to be some clipboards going around. We still have some holes for this coming Friday for watching some kids, and so an opportunity to get involved again and serving. They've been doing some phone calls and different things, and so if you're available and want to invest into some young kids so moms can be encouraged and hear about Christ, we have that opportunity. Some Fridays, I believe there's specific dates on the clipboards, and so if you write your name down, someone will contact you for more information. But as I begin my message, those are going out, and we're excited that we have an opportunity to invest in young moms, because that's part of our anointing, that's part of our calling, and you're going to hear more about it in the years past, or in the next coming weeks. And so sign up if you can be involved in that. I believe for this coming Friday, there's about 7 opportunities to serve. Means 7 holes. And so if you want to fill that out, that'd be fantastic. Hey, I'm going to get going here. It's amazing. Time flies when you have a lot of fun. We've been talking the last 2 weeks about the kingdom. If you haven't been here for the last 2 Sundays, it's still, I know it was summer, but Pastor Dave spoke 2 weeks ago, and then last week I talked about the kingdom, and I just want to just recap what I talked about last week, and I really talked about 3 things about the kingdom of God. In the midst of life, in the midst of what our world is currently going through, I think it's important that we as believers are people who are carrying, not our opinions, but are carrying the kingdom of God. And I think that we as parents, it's important that we are teaching our sons and our daughters what the kingdom of God looks like, because there's so many different opportunities for them to speak their opinions. And we know that the opinion of man changes, right? But the kingdom of God is what is truly going to be eternal and is going to last forever. And so we talked about 3 aspects of the kingdom last week. We said the kingdom of God is at hand. I think it's so easy for us to get stuck and just to get into the day-to-day things and just think, well, the kingdom of God is going to come tomorrow, or the kingdom of God is going to come in 2018, or the kingdom of God is going to affect people once something happens, right? We always put this expectation. I think it's important that we realize that the kingdom of God is now. That today is the day that you can see power come out of your life and infect those who need to have a collision with Jesus. Okay, we also talked about that the kingdom of God is advancing. Right? I think a lot of times we can look at the world and say, well, there's a lot of bad out there. There's a lot of pain out there. And so, you know, darkness is advancing. And we got to remember that it's the kingdom of God that will advance, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, so we need to teach our sons and our daughters to be a part of advancing kingdom. Not a, well, hopefully we can hold on long enough and we're not too battered and beat down. Okay, and the third thing we talked about is that the kingdom of God is eternal. That it's not temporal. That it has advanced, will advance, and will continue to advance until Jesus returns. And it's, again, it's important for us to teach our kids that what we're sowing into has lasting effect. We have fruit that can remain through the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to talk about math. And the title on my message is Promise, Funny Sideways V Over Trouble. Okay, it's not a sideways V. Okay, we're in school. My favorite subject in school was, hands down, was math. My least favorite subject in school was definitely trying to learn the English language. You know why? Because math always makes sense. 1 plus 1 always equals 2. No, unless it's before I or I before E after C, or if it's in this context, it's spelled this way. I couldn't handle the English language learning it because it was like, it changes. And so this morning, I want to talk about facts. Because every time the promise of God is greater than your trouble. It is fact. That little sideways V means it's always greater than. There's no, well, in this case, the trouble might be bigger than the promise of God. This morning, I want to declare that the promises of God are always greater than our trouble. And the promises of God are always greater than your trouble. Right? I think about promises. Like, I love to talk about the promises of God. Because it's the promises of God that keep us as Christians going forward, that keep us having a vision that's bigger than ourselves, that keep us on track with pursuing the things of the kingdom. Okay, I think about different promises. I think as believers, we have promises. I think there's promises of God that have to do with your marriage, right? There's promises of God that have to do with my marriage. And those promises, I want to take those things and I want to declare those things over my life because those promises of God are always good things. Okay, I think there's promises, parents, that God has for you in his word that have to do with your children. Okay, promises that you can declare over them. I think there's promises that he gives to churches, promises that he gives to individuals. Okay, it's the promises of God that remind us of who God really is. Okay, we got to understand that God's character and his promises are always connected. His promises have to do with who he is as a God and as a person. Okay, it's the promises of God that give us hope, right, that cause us to look forward with expectation. Okay, it's the promises of God that give you peace in your life that can sometimes need some peace. So we're going to talk this morning about the promises, and I'm going to talk them up this morning. Okay, the promises that we make in life are only as strong as those who we've made those promises with. Right? It doesn't always help me to make a big promise with my 18-month-old because he has no ability in himself to keep that promise. Right? And I think a lot of times disappointment in our life happens when we make oaths and when we tie ourselves to things that do not have any ability in themselves to keep the promise. Right? We look at things of this world and we say, well, I'm going to attach myself to that. Well, it has no ability to keep its end of the bargain. Right, so I think sometimes we put eternal expectations on temporal sources. Father, help us. I want to read this morning a lot of scripture. So get ready. It's on the PowerPoint. But I want to talk about promises. Okay, so in context of that this morning, let's read the story out of Genesis 37. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream, O brothers, that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood up. And behold, your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down." And his brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his words. Okay, then again in verse 9, he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, guys, I've dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Not just stars, but 11 stars were bowing down. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father even rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I, your mother, and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves on the ground before you?" And his brothers became more jealous of him. But his father kept that saying in mind. Okay, that is a dream. That was a God-given dream, a God-given promise, a God-given expectation that Joseph took hold of and was confident in. Right? Again, we could question all day whether he was wise to share it at the time to his brothers. That's a different story. But the fact is, there was a promise of God that was given to Joseph. I want to jump ahead to 1 Samuel 16. This is the prophet Samuel anointing the next king of Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, this is the Lord talking to the prophet, and he says, "Fill your horn with oil. Go. I'm sending you to Jesse in Bethlehem, for I provided myself a king among his sons." So the prophet of God is going for a specific reason to find the next king. Okay, let's jump ahead to verse 11. This is Samuel talking to Jesse, the father. He says, "Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all your sons here?' And he said, 'Well, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's keeping the sheep.' And Samuel says to Jesse, 'Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes.' And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome." So ruddy and handsome, I don't know how that goes, but it goes. "And the Lord said through the prophet, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.'" This is the next king. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And then Samuel rose and went." So we got to understand that in this moment, a promise of God was given. In this moment, dreams of the Lord were spoke. There was an anointing, there was a calling, can you imagine being in the same room when the next president of the United States was anointed? I mean, that is a holy moment for a nation, right? Very holy. I mean, this isn't like, oh, what just happened in the corner? No, this was a holy moment. The next king of Israel was just anointed. Okay, these aren't just little promises. These are big promises, big dreams. I want to continue out of Psalms 89, and I'm going to read 10 verses, a lot of scripture this morning. And this is talking about David. It says this in verse 20, "I found David, my servant. With all my holy oil, I've anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm will also strengthen him. The enemy will not outwit him. The wicked will not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him." Come on, can you imagine this being said about your life? "My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him. And in my name, his horn shall be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, 'You are my Father, my God, my rock of my salvation.' And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever. And my covenant will stand firm for him. And I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of heavens." Can you say high expectations? Can you say big shoes to fill? Right? But those were the promises that were spoke over King David, that there would be no enemy that would defeat him. Okay, both of these men were called. Both of these men were set apart. Both of these men were given, I'd say, some specific vision and direction for their lives. Okay, these are specific promises. Okay, I look at the call of David, and I look at the promises. God didn't just give David these big, high, and lofty things, but he gave him some giftings and some abilities to go along with those lofty dreams. He gave him his strength. He anointed him, right? He put his favor on David's life. He promised David that his love would always go with him, right? So it wasn't just these big dreams without any tools. He said, "I'm going to give you these things as well." You know, I think about our lives today as we're
talking about dreams. I hope you're thinking about the own dreams in your life, right? It's on purpose to think about those promises that God's called you to walk in. But I think about our own lives today in 2017, and you know, I think about at some point in your life, you were given promises from God. At some point, you had that moment. Maybe it wasn't like you're going to be the next king of Israel, but you knew that God was setting you apart for ministry. You knew that God was giving you promises for influence over people's lives. You knew God was giving you an anointing to walk in healing. He was giving you an anointing to speak and have deaf ears be opened, right? Well, what about that moment when God said, I'm going to use you to heal marriages. I'm going to use you to see little ones come to the King. Think about those moments. Think about those times that the Lord called you, right? Those times even when God said, I'm going to use you to bring restoration to a family member that doesn't know me. Think about those dreams. Here's what I know about those moments in life. When you have an encounter with God, you cannot shake it. You cannot run from it. You cannot hide from it. You cannot get away from that calling. And sometimes I wish we could. Right? Sometimes I wish I could forget what God spoke to me in that moment. Right? Because you're accountable to what you hear. You're accountable to what you know. You know, I remember a long time ago when I was, it was like almost 20 years ago when I knew that God said, I'm calling you as a pastor. I remember being, God, I don't want to hear that again. Because it's driving me crazy. God, I don't want to hear it. I want the Lord to say, I'm going to, you know, you're going to be a fireman or you're going to be a policeman. Or you're going to do this. No, God, I don't want. And then again, you get reminded again and again. It's like, oh, thanks, we're good. Let's move on. But here's what I know about the promises of God this morning. And I had a revelation as I was unpacking two boxes last weekend of a dresser from IKEA. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of putting together a dresser from IKEA. And I started to panic as I got to the end of the second box because the instructions were nowhere to be found. Wouldn't worry me if it was something from, you know, something to do with a car or something with construction, but IKEA things require instructions. I started to panic as I didn't have those instructions. But a lot of times when the Lord sends promises, He doesn't send the step-by-step how-to instructional manual of how you're going to reach those promises. Sometimes I wish He did. Sometimes I don't, because then we would probably rely on those and not rely on our faith to get us to those things. But a lot of times the details that the Lord leaves out, those details are the things that drive us crazy. Those details are the things that cause us to be confused. We say, God, I don't understand how this is going to happen because you didn't provide the details. And so instead of causing us to walk closer to those promises, we get paralyzed. We don't do anything. We don't move. We just say, well, maybe it'll happen someday. Maybe it won't. Okay, again, the Lord leaves out the details sometimes because He wants to teach us to listen to His voice. He wants to show us as we walk and as we pursue and as we say, God, we don't know how these things are going to happen, but we're going to trust Your promises because, again, promises are greater than the trouble. Okay, I want to continue to read some more about Joseph and some more about David. So this is continuing on after Joseph tells his brothers, you're going to bow down to me. So when Joseph came to his brothers in verse 23, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty and there was no water in it. Right? Other versions say he was beat.
No, thank you. Verse 28. This is still Joseph. Then the traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. So he's beat by his brothers. He's then sold for 20 shekels. I don't know if 20 shekels is an insult, right? If that was a bargain, probably was a bargain. Like, if you're going to be sold, you want to be sold for more. He then served as a slave in Egypt. We read this in the Bible. We got to understand that 20 years he served as a slave. After 20 years, man, we want to give up. After 2 months of not seeing the promises of God, we want to give up. For 20 years, he served as a slave. And then he was promoted to prison ministry for 3.5 years. No, he wasn't going with world vision to the prisons. He was a prisoner for 3.5 years. All along, his reputation was tarnished. His dreams were all but over. And he had to wrestle in his mind with the fact that he could remember the promises God gave him 25 years ago. That'd probably be the worst part. He had to wrestle going, what in the world was that? See how it went for David. He was anointed king of Israel. It's a big deal. Verse 19 of 1 Samuel 16. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard, for in the morning, stay in a secret place and hide yourself. For 5 to 8 years, David ran from Saul because Saul was going to kill him. He's anointed king and he's on the run. And during that 5 to 8 years, we know King David had multiple opportunities to take matters into his own hands, to take his throne, to kill the king, right? Many people would say, hey, God put him. That was a God-given opportunity to take what was his. But the Lord said, no. Today's message is supposed to be encouraging. I'm not feeling very encouraged, Pastor Justin. You talk about dreams and now you're squashing them. Sorry. But it's important for us to realize this morning that there is a relationship that the promises of God have with the trouble of life. Okay, unfortunately, there is a relationship that those two play and they go hand in hand. Okay, trouble could be trial, could be setback, could be not what I thought it was going to look like or how it was going to go. The promises of God do not mean for us that there aren't setbacks, that there aren't distractions, that there aren't those times where trouble seems to accompany the promise. Okay, but those troubles aren't meant to make you callous in your life. Callous to what? Callous to the promises of God. Right? Those setbacks aren't supposed to make you feel indifferent to the promises of God. They're not to make you feel dull to the things that God wants to do in your life. But oftentimes, in my own life, they want to. They want to make me callous. Oh, God wants to use me to heal a nation. No big deal. No big deal. But I want to encourage us this morning that the troubles that you and I as believers go through, the ones who have been called by God, those troubles are supposed to be like the clouds that cover the sun for a moment, and then they move on. Okay, that's what those troubles are supposed to be viewed like. Not an eternal darkness that's the new normal in your life. Okay, you need to grasp that this morning. I tell you, we've had some really interesting weather, haven't we? The what was it? I want to call it the fog, but the smoke this week was weird.
it was so weird because it was 90 degrees and it looked like it was supposed to be about 40 degrees, right? It was totally weird. How about that eclipse a few weeks ago? I remember sitting outside on my porch and the baby was asleep and my wife was with the boys at the doctor. And I remember just standing in awe of who our God is. And I'm not going to lie to you this morning. The thought crossed my mind. What if the moon just gets tilted a little bit wrong and it's now forever going to be dark, right? What if things missed by a little bit and all of a sudden our normal was different? All right, I'm like, God, please, like, don't let everything go how it's supposed to go. But I'm not going to lie to you. What if this is the new normal? What if this is the beginning of the end? What if this is what it says in Revelation? I'm not going to lie to you. Those thoughts crossed my mind because that's all it would take. What if? I think as our journey progresses with the Lord and we look at the trouble that we experience in our life, the thought might cross our mind, well, what if it's just forever going to be dark in my life? What if I'm not going to see those promises? What if? But again, in that eclipse moment, I knew that the Lord was going to cause everything to go as he said it was going to go. I knew that. I had no doubt in my mind. I had a thought, but I was like, we're going to see the sun in about 2 minutes again, and it's all going to be good. I look at David. I look at Joseph. How did they know in those moments of running from Saul and in prison and being a slave, how did they know that wasn't their new lot? Because God had bound himself to his promise first. Because God had bound himself to the promise that you will rule, Joseph. And David, you will be king. And so as the troubles came, as the clouds got darker, as things happened, they knew those clouds, we'll call them, those trials, we'll call them, were just passing through. And let it be in our lives today. Let it be in our nation today. Let it be in our church today. Because long before the trouble came, the promise had already been spoken. And God's promises are eternal. David had been anointed before he had to run for his life. So this morning, in the midst of your cloud, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your, it seems pretty dark in my life, I don't feel like I'm being used to heal marriages, if that was your promise. I don't feel like God is using me to heal anything. Right? Long before that trouble came, remember that the promise has already been spoken over your life. And if you read the stories more in depth of Joseph and of David, a number of times in their trial, little reminders came. Little glimpses came from the Lord that says, no, I do know what I'm doing. Listen, as believers, we are promised that those troubles will have a beginning and they will have an end. Okay, we need to cling tight on that this morning because I really feel like as a church in the season of new beginnings, of fall even with our schedule, that the Lord wants to remind us of his promises both as families, as individuals, and corporately as a church. That he has spoken promises over your life. And I think there's many people in this room today, myself included, that because of trouble, because of clouds, because of circumstance, we've forgotten the promises or have taken on the truth that says these clouds are going to be eternal. And I want to speak this morning over your life that the clouds and the trouble is just passing through.
and remember about the promises that God has spoke over your life. You know, we talk about growth, and I think we all love that word. God wants to grow your ministry. God wants to grow your marriage. God wants to grow your influence, and we get on the success train, right? Yes, Lord, we'll take that word. Well, I was reminded this week another word for grow. I don't know why I thought about this, but I can't believe I'm going to share it with you. But another word, I think of grow, I think of the word stretch. Because when Pastor Alicia is baking this baby, she is growing. You said it, sister, not me. Right? But when you're growing, there's a stretching. When you're in a stretching isn't comfortable. A stretching can feel like a stretching. When God wants to grow you in areas of your life, you might feel the pressure of that growing. It might not look like, you know, abundance and blessing and promises. It might feel like you're growing. It might feel like you're pressured. It might feel like you're tired. But I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to grow you so he can prepare you for the promises that he wants you to operate in your life. And though you may feel like you are being stretched, though I may feel like some of the stretching feels real, I want to encourage us to keep our eyes this morning on the promise. Personally, young people, the promises that God spoke over your life. Can you guys stand with me? Janessa, can you just come play? I felt this morning as we're getting to the end of our service that God wants to, just he wanted to remind us this morning. You know, some Sundays you have these big, you know, plans that you feel the Lord. And I felt like this morning the Lord said he wants to remind us that his promise is greater than the trouble. And that there was dreams that are in the hearts of people that God wants to remind you of today. Corporately, individually, for your family. And so as Janessa plays, I just want to pray. And I want you to get your promise this morning. I want you to get that revelation of what are the things that the Lord has spoke in me. Have I become callous to the things that God spoke over my life? Have I become indifferent to those things? And I want to believe this morning that the Lord wants to encourage us. The Lord wants to strengthen us, just as he did David, just as he did Joseph in those moments. And so God, all over this place, we come to you. Come on, let's engage in him this morning. All over this place, God, we come to you. Father, all over this place, and for those that may feel like the sun is shining in their life, and the sun is shining in their ministry, and the sun is shining in their marriage, Father, all over this place, we come to you. Father, and we're reminded this morning that your promises outweigh the trouble that we may be going through. Father, all over this place, I pray for those who may be in the midst of trouble, who may be in the midst of going, I don't see it in my life. I don't get it in my life. God, you spoke these things when I was 15. God, you spoke these things when I first got married, but I feel like I'm running. I feel like I'm being chased. Father, this morning, would you bring to remembrance the promises? Father, would you bring that confidence in our spirit that says the promise came before the trouble comes? Father, all over this place, Father, would you encourage your sons and your daughters today?
So just as Pastor Justin was preaching, the Lord reminded me of a dream that I had when I was 18. I started my generational leadership year down in California, and it was a couple months into it. And this dream is I am running through fields like, I mean, it was gorgeous. The sun was there, the skylight. But I know that I had felt like the Lord was running with me. I remember running and holding a hand and just skipping through the fields like you hear. And then all of a sudden I go over a hill and it was just, it was monsters. It was scary stuff. It was demons. I saw them all. And to be honest, it reminded me of Lord of the Rings when they start coming up. It was that many. And I got scared in my dreams. I just was like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And then all of a sudden, I felt his arm come around me like this and grab my shoulder. And then his other arm came in front of me with a sword. And I felt at that time, he said, don't worry, I haven't left you, and I'm still with you. And I think that with everything Pastor Justin was saying, and everything that, I mean, some of you guys know what I have gone through, that's what I lean on. Is I see the things and I see and I don't understand. I don't understand right now why I've been dealing with cancer now for 7 years. However, his promise is that he's a healer. His promise is that he's got my best. So I don't know what step I have to take, and I don't know. And it's like what he said. Everything in front of them became the bad, the angry. But the promise of the Lord, he says, I am your healer. He says, I know the steps I have for you. And he says, walk with me, for the good is in front of you. Although you might not see what's in front of you, he's walking and holding your hand. And I just want that to spark something, because we don't understand and we might not see. But I will never forget that dream, because it was so clear to me. His hand went across me, and his sword came in front of me.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Come on. So, Father, come on. If you're where Michelle is and was, come on, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? And I just want to pray, Father, that those times, God, I don't even know how to pray. But Father, where many hands, God, almost every hand in this room is lifted saying, God, I don't see it right now, or I don't feel it right now. Father, would you comfort us today? Father, would you remind us that your arm is around us and your sword is with us, in front of us. Father, those dreams, God, we call forth those dreams. We call forth those anointings. Father, we call forth that you are the healer over Michelle. You are the healer over cancer. You are the healer over broken marriages. You are the healer over wayward children. That your promises are yes. Father, forgive us for where we've allowed fear. Forgive us for where we've allowed comfort to get in our way, oh God. Father, forgive us for where we've been paralyzed because of fear, and we haven't kept running because of the cloud. Father, would you remind us today, Father, that it's just passing through. Father, and would your promise this week as we go, Father, would your promise be greater than our trouble? God, we trust you today. Father, I even pray this week, and God, I'm going to pray it for myself. But Father, would you speak promises this week? Father, even at times when we say, I don't want to hear anymore, Father, would you speak to us those promises? Not to torment us, but to continue to keep us pressing on through the barrenness, through the wilderness. Amen. 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 Come on, let's receive it as individuals, as family. The promises are greater than the trouble. Hey, I want to